House Bill 5049. Steve, why don't we start with you, just kind of get some overview.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 5049 is the budget of the State Scholarship Commission, and LFO has recommendations for you today as to the budget that we would recommend that you approve for the commission. I'd like to back off a minute. Well, let me first say that in terms of the general fund, this is sort of the bottom line, and then we'll go back to the details. But in terms of the bottom line, the LFO recommendation is very similar to the governor's recommendation in the sense the support of scholarships through the NEED grant and other programs, the total dollar amount is the same as the governor's level. That amount is about $4.3 million above the current service level, or roughly 12% above the current service level for the support of scholarships that are primarily distributed to students on the basis of need. The vast majority of the general fund goes to the need grant. Also, in terms of the other fund programs, again, the LFO recommendation is very close to the governor's level. But I would, if I could, please, like to go through what the LFO recommendations are and to indicate to you what it is that we are recommending that you fund. In most cases, this is what the governor is also recommending, but I know it's been a long time since you've seen this budget, so it's important for you to go through that. I'd also, again, like to remind members that this commission effectively operates a number of programs that are entirely distinct and independent of each other. And it's significant to realize that as we go through this discussion. The four programs that this commission operates that are really quite separate, and the funds are really not transferable between these programs or among these programs, are first of all the scholarship support, direct grant scholarship support that the commission provides, which is primarily funded through state appropriations, both general fund and lottery, and almost all of which is distributed through a program known as the NEED grant, whereby students who attend community colleges, OUS institutions, or private colleges in Oregon are eligible for grants based on financial needs. The second program that this agency operates is it acts as a guarantor agency in the Federal Student Guaranteed Loan Program, or more formally, the Federal Family Education Loan Program. The third function, or the third program that this agency operates, are the private award programs, where private donors contribute dollars to and have the Scholarship Commission administer scholarships for them. And the fourth general area that this agency operates in is it houses the Office of Degree Authorization, which is a state office that is primarily involved in situations where private institutions wish to offer a degree program in Oregon. They review the program to make sure it meets state standards, and then authorizes the institution to do that. This office also reviews situations when public institutions offer new programs to determine whether that new program offering will have a detrimental impact on other institutions that are already offering the program in terms of over-duplicating their offerings. But those are the four primary areas. The recommendations, we have 14 of them, really are involved in all four of those areas. So, but I try to separate them out because they are such different functions. I've distributed a number of materials to you today, and we'll basically be going through them in the order that they were distributed to you in the pile. But the first item, and the item that really we'll be going through in some detail, is this written item called the Detail of LFO Recommendations on the State Scholarship Commission, and there's an associated spreadsheet with this, which I won't be referring to too much, but this gives the dollars, puts the dollars into the words, and we can look at that if there are any questions. The first LFR recommendation, labeled number one, is we recommend that the committee approve a 4% efficiency reduction that you've seen in other budgets and attorney general charge reductions. The co-chairs have requested all agencies to come forward with 4% efficiency reductions, that's to say 4% reductions in their state support levels that are not used directly to support, in this particular case, the grants for students. So this isn't a reduction in the grants, it's a reduction in the operating expenses of the agency. That amounts to $45,194 in general fund, and do note that the governor revised his recommendation from his original recommendation and concurred with the co-chair's request for a 4% efficiency reduction. So the governor's revised budget also includes the $45,194 general fund reduction. What the governor did not include, but that we recommend, is that you further reduce for their other funds the attorney general charges by the amount of $18,336. That's because in the budget of the Department of Justice, attorney general fees were reduced by 2.6%. So we're recommending for all budgets that you reduce the amount of funding for the charges by 2.6% because they're going to be lower than they were anticipated to be.
Does that allow them basically to meet that need, or will I have to raid other funds to pay attorney general fees?
Senator, this should allow them to meet the need because the way that the original amount in the budget was put was it was what was expected to be their cost based on the higher cost.
You reduce those price levels. So.
This is a dollar for dollar reduction in the funding for the expected reduction in cost. If there are no questions, I will go on to the next set of recommendations. Recommendations 2 through 5 are relating to the Federal Family Education Loan Program. That's to say the Loan Guarantee Program. And there are these recommendations. I do want to step back a bit and talk about how this program is funded. There was discussion in subcommittee during the public hearings of monies that have to be returned to the federal government, and those are relating to this program here, and it is important, I believe, to look at that, how that particular program is financed, in order to understand the recommendations that both the governor and LFO are making relating to that program. And I would ask you to look in the pile of materials that have been distributed to you at the next page, which should be a one-page sheet titled Federal Student Loan Reserve Fund. And it's on the footer says created 5/5/99 at 7:20 p.m. This sheet was prepared by the Scholarship Commission. And what it explains is the following. This shows what is happening or what funds need to be or will be transferred back to the federal government over a period of time. The current balance of what is known as the unrestricted funds is $12,385,000, roughly. What these unrestricted funds are, if you think about what the Scholarship Commission does, and what it actually does in this program, is what the Scholarship Commission does is it guarantees loans, student loans, and when a student when there's a chance or there's a threat of them going into default, the agency becomes active first to try to prevent that default, and if the loan actually does go in default, because they guaranteed the loan, they essentially buy it from the private lender. So for a particular bank, they pay off the loan to the lender, and in return, they receive payments back. The federal government basically pays them for most of the costs that they had to pay to the lender in order to buy that loan. And then the federal government allows the Scholarship Commission to keep a share of the money they then collect if they're successful. The unrestricted balance or the unrestricted funds can be used solely to buy these defaulted student loans. So this is what they use. This is the money they use to pay the private lenders when it becomes necessary because of their guarantee to purchase the loan from them. What this money cannot be used for is any of the administrative expenses to the agency of actually operating this program. Those administrative expenses include the personnel, most of the personnel that the Scholarship Commission hires. So it's those personnel costs, it's the standard services and supply costs, computer systems, just the basic day-to-day costs of running the agency.
Even those costs can be fully attributed to this fund?
Those costs must be attributed to the federal program, that's correct.
Okay, but they can meet those, they can pay for those costs if they are attributed.
That's correct. What they pay for them from is what is known as a separate fund called the Agency Operating Fund. So this isn't the fund that's used to repay the loans. Under the federal law, there's a separate fund that they can use to meet their actual expenses. That isn't really shown very well on this first page. So I'd ask you to look at the second page, which is also from the Scholarship Commission, though I modified it a bit. But its title is Oregon State Scholarship Commission Agency Number 57500. And then it talks about the financial projections for the agency operating fund. Does everyone see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This shows the, if you look at the third line from the bottom, total expenditures, these are the operating expenditures to the agency of running the federal loan program. So it's about $6 million per year. If you look at the revenues, these are the revenues that are available to actually fund those operations and that are not restricted solely to repaying or to purchasing loans from that go into default. So there are account maintenance fees, there are loan processing and issuance fees. If the Scholarship Commission does have to collect on a defaulted loan, 74% of that collection they get to retain. I believe the entire rest of it is returned to the federal government, but yes, that's correct. There's a default aversion fee, and there's some interest on the balance. These are the only funds that the agency can use to actually run its operations. You can see here that the agency...
Steve, help us a little bit. The 24% of collection recoveries, that means that after they have bought the loan back from the company and they find a student, he pays up, and then 24% of those goes into this operating fund?
Correct.
And the other 76%?
Is returned to the federal government, which had previously already compensated the commission for most of the cost of the loan that they had purchased. So if they, for example, if there's a $10,000 student loan outstanding, Scholarship Commission will pay it off, give the $10,000 to the bank, the federal government will come back and pay the Scholarship Commission, 92% or what is it?
95%.
So they will pay the Scholarship Commission $9,500. Scholarship Commission is out $500. Then the Scholarship Commission goes out and tries to collect, and if they're able to collect, well, let's say they do collect the whole $10,000 in this case, then they get to retain $2,400. The other $7,600 is returned to the federal government, which has already paid them $9,500. When you look at this chart here that we're looking at, one thing that should be obvious from the bottom row is that the agency is operating this program at a loss, which is of concern. And it's because of this, actually, that LFO is recommending some of the packages that we are. Because the revenues, all of those revenues, except the last two for, certainly the top three most directly, but the other two less directly, are based on the agency's loan volume. So if they're to increase the revenues to the level that are necessary to maintain the program, they have to increase their loans. And packages, and the first two recommendations are designed to help them increase their loans. One thing to realize is that the loan program is a competitive program. Generally, state agencies aren't operating in competition or in such direct competition, but the loan program, they're in competition with the federal direct loan program, which bypasses the guarantee process totally, and also with other guarantors under the federal program. Scholarship Commission has about a quarter of the loan volume in Oregon right now, student loan volume, and they their goal is to increase that up from the 25% that they currently have. So they are operating in a competitive environment, and if they are unable to increase their portion of the market, they will probably have to make some cuts next time because, you see, this is a deficit situation that cannot continue indefinitely.
Just a question, so I can clarify that the default funds that we're looking at now on the student loan reserve fund, does the agency also receive funds for managing the loan program itself from the federal government? I thought I heard when we had a testimony that there was an additional funding for managing the loan program.
That is correct. There's one additional source that is outside of this. That is dealt with in package 301. And when we get to that, if I could wait until then, I'll discuss that at that time. But for the other operations, this is what.
Can you just highlight again what is driving the operating loss? What's the biggest factor here?
There are two factors as I see it, and perhaps the Scholarship Commission may also want to comment on this. The two factors are, first of all, the strict segregation of which funds could be used out of all of the federally funded programs for strictly for operating expenses is a recent development. Until the Higher Ed Reauthorization Act of, I think it was 98, there was not, the federal government did not strictly specify or as strictly specify how much could be used for operating expenses. So this is a new regime that the Scholarship Commission has to adjust to. It's a tighter regime as far as the feds are concerned. The other situation is that, again, the commission has been facing significant competition in their loan program, and their volume levels are lower than they have been in the past, and they will have to, if they are unsuccessful in turning them around and increasing the amount of loans that they cover in their program, they will have to make cuts unless there's some other federal changes in the future that provide them with more operating funds. This entire program receives no state support. It is entirely funded, that's why it's separate, it's entirely funded by these federal revenues, and the monies in these funds are not fungible or transferable to the state program. You can't take some of these monies and put them into these grants or whatever.
Why does it make sense for the state to do this if it can be done in other ways? Is it beneficial to our students if this organization does this rather than leaving it, I guess, to the private sector or whoever else does it?
Well, I do believe that, the statutes are set up to have this agency operate as a guarantor for the state of Oregon and to participate in this program. Mm-hmm. And many of the other guarantors are not headquartered here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And being here, this would be, and as part of the commission's overall mission, to be a single entity that focuses student aid efforts in Oregon.
And maybe the commission could speak to that.
Yes. Go ahead. Just identify yourself for the record.
Thank you very much, Representative Ross. My name is Woody Farber, Executive Director of the State Scholarship Commission, for the record. To speak directly to Senator Cho's question, if I may, we see one of the major problems being grant loan imbalance. And therefore, the students are borrowing tremendous levels to get through their post-secondary education. if the scholarship commission is not the guarantor of those loans, then we are unable to work out a coordinated program between the grant programs and the loan programs those students borrow under. And the national guarantors, as Steve indicated, are not headquartered here in Oregon, are not really concerned about those borrowing levels. So they have no concern about the levels that students borrow at, and that drives the loan volume up even greater.
The cost to the students would go up.
Cost to the students would go up. In addition to that, the lenders that are working with the State Scholarship Commission have provided benefit packages to students borrowing into those programs, which lowers their interest rate, therefore lowers their repayment costs on the loans that they do borrow. And the Scholarship Commission itself, because of the quality of the loans that we are making to students in the state of Oregon and their repaying of those loans, for the next academic year, we have reduced the guarantee fee for those loans to 0%. We saved them approximately $1 million in the next academic year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Going back to my list of recommendations, recommendations 2, 3, and 4, all of which are also in the governor's recommended budget, and that LFO recommends that you approve, are designed to, as a part of the agency's management plan, to essentially increase its share of student loans and enable the agency to eliminate its operating loss. The first one, Package 101, adds one position and $100,000 of other funds out of this agency operating fund for a public information coordinator to coordinate responses to news items, develop public information materials, and develop information campaigns for specific groups of students and schools and lenders. Package 102 creates two program representative positions at a cost of $183,614 from the agency operating fund. The program representatives service the accounts that the agency has, not with students, but with the schools and the lenders that participate in the program. There's currently one program representative for the 114 schools and lenders. The industry standard is one for every 40 customers. So the agency is requesting, and LFO is recommending approval, to hire two additional program representatives. So there will be a total of three, which will bring you basically to the 1 in 40 industry standard. Package recommendation 4, which is package 150, is an information services improvement. It's $78,400 of other funds, or no positions in this package, for upgrading the memory on the computer system that the agency uses to operate the federal loan program, and also to establish a training center where they could bring in financial aid administrators and train them on the use of systems that the Scholarship Commission is using in this loan program. So we would recommend those. And I've presented those as a package and would be happy to, or the three of them together, they're three separate packages, but I'd be happy to answer any questions about those before going on.
Any questions for Steve?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Package 5, or number, recommendation 5, I'm sorry, which is package, labeled package 301 in the governor's budget, is a default loan reduction initiative. And we recommend approval of that. This is also a federal part of the federal loan guarantee program, but this is one item that is not funded out of the agency operating fund that we were looking at the financials on earlier. This is actually part of the situation where the Scholarship Commission is being required to transfer some of its reserves back to the federal government. And in the process of transferring them, which is a five-year process under federal law, monies are taken and put into restricted and escrow accounts where they cannot be used for any purpose except one, and that is the interest on those accounts can be used to create a default loan reduction initiative. That is to say, to establish activities to help reduce the default levels on student loans. Package 301 is required for the Scholarship Commission to actually be allowed to use those monies, as is permitted under federal law. They would use the funds to basically design information materials and to send people to schools to train the school staff in the default prevention activities. And we recommend that you approve this. There's no other possible use of the funds, and it does not come out of their agency operating funds.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you. Steve, could you explain, is that a change in federal law or federal rules as to why now? Why haven't this been done in the past?
It is a change in federal law.
Okay. And so, is there, have you seen a plan by the Scholarship Commission about how they want to use that money? I mean, you kind of spelled out generic informational items, but do they have a pretty good handle on how they want to use that?
I have not seen a very detailed plan of that. I have just seen discussions of what the intent of the funds are, and that it would involve both preparing materials, you know, the creation and distribution of materials relating to reducing defaults, and also actual training. They would go in and go to their various schools and train the financial aid officers in those schools to help them keep their students out of default.
Steve. Thank you, Madam Chair. Could the default dollars, the interest off of the money that's put in the outstanding reserve, and since you're talking about the purpose is to reduce the amount of default loans, could you make an argument, and maybe the commission can answer that, but even when you're talking about the public information position, could that also be used in that particular category, that the activities are designed that the loans that you get in the first place are more solid so that you don't have the default? I'm trying to look at where you've got some dollars that are coming into a stream that could possibly be used in lieu of dollars from someplace else.
Chair, Minister, Representative Winters, again, for the record, my name is Woody Farber, Executive Director of the Scholarship Commission. Representative Winters, the problem with the concept of funding a position out of the $390,000 approximately used for the default reduction issue, that's a one-time shot that you get that interest earnings, and it's the statute that was passed and signed by the President last October 7, 1998, was geared at using that interest balance just for new initiatives, to information-type initiatives and programs to go out to students and schools, et cetera, to address the default concerns that were out there. And so to fund a continuing position, if you will, out of a one-time cash influx, really means that position would go away in a very short period of time.
Oh, so you're saying that the dollars that have been in escrow for now that are generating the interest, this is a one-time only activity, and then after that, that escrow dollars go back to the federal government?
Sure, Minister, Representative Williams, that is correct. To the tune of approximately a little over $12 million sent back to Washington.
What's your estimated goal of default reduction with that amount of money?
At this point in time, we haven't set a goal as to what the default, how many defaults we will be preventing. In the memorandum sent on June 3rd, 1999, to members of the committee, we laid out in detail what the purpose of Package 301 and what the various activities we would be doing in that package with that money, and how we go about carrying out as far as equipment, telecommunication costs, various programs we'd be putting into effect, and informational pieces we would be developing.
Okay.
That completes discussion of the LFO recommendations relating to the federal loan program. The next set of recommendations relate to other funds programs that are not the federal loan program. And recommendation six.
No, I'm sure.
Yes,
you,
sure.
Do you want to act on these while they're fresh in our minds, or should we?
Would you like to go ahead and move?
I would move that we accept these packages as recommended by LFO.
Okay. Senator Trow moves. We accept LFO recommendations 1 through 5. Any discussion?
Just one question. So I understand, too. Package 101 and 102, other funds are federal funds?
Right. They're the agency operating funds from the funds that are on that 1 through 5.
Any other discussion?
How many of the funds in these packages could actually be used for scholarship if they weren't used in this manner?
None of these in these packages, 2 through 5. They are all funds that are restricted to being used for the federal loan guarantee program by federal law.
Any further discussion? Any objection to packages 101 through 301? Seeing none, motion carries. Let's move on to the...
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next on our list of recommendations is recommendation 6, but it's package 202 in the governor's budget. This is a package that provides a small other funds increase of $6,692 for the community service carryover funding. The community service voucher program operates at Western Oregon University, and students in that program can get vouchers worth $875 toward tuition if they provide 20 hours of community service per week for a school term. This is not the funding package for that program. The funding package is already in the governor's budget, and there's about just under $30,000 of general funds for to continue this program for new vouchers during this triennium. The reason for package 202 is different. The reason is that these vouchers are good for 5 years. So what happens is a student gets a voucher this year, and it may not be until the next biennium that they actually come to the Scholarship Commission cash it. The Scholarship Commission has to give them the $875. This is really a technical piece, and it's a companion to House Bill 2252, which you passed this session, that creates a carryover of funds to allow the vouchers to be carried over from one biennium to another. So we would approve this, as basically a technical companion to House Bill 2252.
Representative Jackson. Thank you, Chair Minister. Steve, I'm curious. How did this program come to just involve Western Oregon University?
This program has been in existence for several biennia now, and I believe that it was started at Western as a pilot for potential expansion to other institutions, and funding has not been provided to expand.
It's been very thoughtful to be successful. Yes, and if it's been for several biennium, then this LFO recommendation, you must feel that it's a successful program.
It's a small program. It doesn't impact many students, but it does provide these types of funds in exchange for community service, and does provide more community service and also a form of scholarship aid to students.
Okay. Any questions?
Recommendation 7, package 204, deals with the private awards program. So this is a program where private donors are operating their scholarship through the Scholarship Commission, administering their scholarship to the Scholarship Commission. This is a highly successful program, and the fees that are used, that are generated by these donors, really we would not recommend that they be used for any other purpose. That is to say, those fees should be used to operate the scholarship and not be transferred to a federal loan program or to a need grant or what have you. But the agency is requesting, because of an increase in the number of grants, private awards that they are administering, that they be allowed to use $52,532 of the fees that they are collecting from donors to add an office specialist position and to reclassify a couple positions in the private awards program to increase the services to donors in this program and to enable these awards to be better operated for the donors. The fees that they collect are generally a percentage from the donor of the amount that they're donating. So the donor amount, I believe it's typically 5%. Is that correct? 5 to 7.5%. This will just use some of those fees for this purpose. It's not increasing. You will not be. My understanding is that the commission will not be increasing its rate of fees to donors as a result of this package. So it's not like they're going to increase it from 5% to 10% in order to fund this. It'll stay at that level, but the fees that have been collected will be used for these purposes.
Representative,
has there ever been a concern raised by donors of a fee being paid?
I asked the scholarship commission that same question and was told that in some cases the concern is not that the fees are too high, but that better services could be provided with the fees that are currently being collected, and this package would help. Presumably help increase those services by providing an additional person to help assist in the administration of that program. But when I did ask the Scholarship Commission that question, they said that that was not an issue, and I have not heard directly from any private donors of concerns with that.
Madam Chair,
what is the total dollar amount of grants, of donated dollars?
Let me check. If anyone here has the number off the top of their head, that would be here. That's an annual. Yeah, so about $13
million. $13 million annually?
No, biannually.
Biannually? So you're talking about 6.5 a year?
Yeah.
And what is the average size of the donation, you know?
Further question, Representative?
Well, I'm just trying to look at activity and, the need for, I guess I'm always hesitant of adding new FTEs, and if you have a lot of donations out there, then of course you need a lot more cash. If you have large donations, you don't need quite as many to service, and I'm trying to get at what you need.
Steve, maybe I could ask a question along the line that Representative Winters is this fund growing? Are we having an increasing number of donors, and so we have and so part of this position is to take care of the increased workload and to work with potential donors so that we, in fact, because you have to have somebody to serve these donors if they're going to call and chat about how it would work. And so this is that part of this would be to serve the increased workload and to support those the volume. Is that correct?
Chairman Ross, Representative Winters. Both answer to both your questions, attempt to. Right now, we have approximately 165 different programs in the private scholarship program.
Okay.
And you're absolutely correct. Part of the activities will be to support the current donors in the programs and then to market and attract additional donors to keep growing that program over a period of time.
And in essence, make it easier and more convenient for donors to actually work with the commission.
Chairman Ross, that is correct.
Okay. Do you have other questions, Representative?
Okay,
go. Senator Gorley.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning. I'm just wondering, is it unusual to charge donors a fee for the administration of the program, such as if is our practice consistent with what goes on around the country, or?
Chairman Roth, Senator Gordon, yes, this is a consistent practice with what goes on around the country. Any scholarship programs or grant programs are established by the private donors who have an administrative fee associated with them, and it usually is based on a percentage.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next package in the governor's budget, which is number 8 here in my reference at the top of page 3, is package 205, a volunteer student advisory coordinator. This package uses $97,408 of other funds and creates one position. The purpose of this, or the purpose of the package and the position, is to establish a program to train volunteer advisors who would be then able to give students information on student aid and student financial aid information. The source of this fund, these funds, are donations that the Scholarship Commission is receiving for this purpose from the Oregon Community Foundation and from other private sources. Because LFO recommends approval because the funds are being donated for this purpose. However, we do make one change from the governor's recommendation, and that is we recommend that you make the position, the new position associated with this package, a limited duration position that will expire at the end of this biennium, because this source of funding is coming completely from private donors. We don't know if they're going to want to continue this program, and we don't believe it's advisable to create a permanent position in state government for a program that may be discontinued. If they do receive additional funds of the private donors wish to continue this program, this committee and the legislature can look at this next question.
Question?
Yes.
Representative Edwards?
Thank you. When we talk about training volunteers, what type of volunteer are we talking about?
Well, I didn't see specific information as to who the volunteers were envisioned to be, but my understanding is that they would be people who would be able to work in schools with students to advise them of their financial aid options. If someone from the commission would like to provide some more information for the representative, that would be appreciated.
Identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Dave Lethrow. I'm one of the members of the commission and also a recipient of the services provided by this item, package 205. Program that I was formerly associated with and which I volunteer with at this point as a recipient of the kind of services provided by this package. In a letter I addressed to you, I think about a month ago, I suggested that it's important to look at the environment and the terrain of the public schools at this point. The person that I depended on when I was in high school to get me organized, coordinated, and targeted for college, my second mother, essentially, who was always there to say, David, are you taking care of this application? Have you filed all this? Has disappeared from this landscape. The opportunity to have someone who is knowledgeable and connected to the network that provides for college opportunities and the sources of funding just simply is either not there or is so overworked it cannot do the job. Particularly if you're going to advance the effort to get information in the hands of students who don't traditionally think about college as the next step in what they're going to do, you're going to have to take some extraordinary effort, I think, to make that that information, those opportunities available. What this program does, then, is to train a series of volunteers to fill this position that's missing or to reach further than the traditional 20% of the student body that is advised of what kind of opportunities are in the post-secondary area.
So I understand this a little better. First off, we're talking about
volunteers in high school.
Yes.
Okay. And, and these volunteers, are they, do they have a financial background, I assume? You're talking about like somebody from the banking community or somebody who has, you know, who, I guess I'm trying to figure out, who are these people?
My best source of understanding of this would be myself and the four volunteers that we have at the Portland Knight High School. One of those is the community college financial advisor at Chemeketa High School, lives in the neighborhood and has volunteered her time to help train four other volunteers. Myself, a person who works in the budget system of the Portland Public Schools, somebody who works in the alternative education segment of the Portland Public Schools, particularly with youth who have been troubled with the use of weapons, and a person who was formerly connected to the Portland Knight High School in a school's work program. The four of us receive, over the last 2 years, an opportunity to understand all the documents that are involved in application for post-secondary education, all the sources of funding. What we've managed to do is to coordinate a whole bunch of disparate information that was floating around and consolidate it in a notebook that provides each of us with the same level of training and can pass that information on to, in the case of the Portland Knight High School, approximately 95% of the young people graduating from that program had no plans when they first arrived to continue their education beyond high school graduation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In addition to the Portland area, if you're talking training, the trainer's kind of a model, is that correct? What other cities or what other parts of the state are you anticipating implementing this kind of a program?
Last year there were four pilot sites around the state. This year they've added six more pilot sites to do this. I'm at a loss right now to identify. I don't have that with me. Sorry.
Okay.
The intent was to scatter these around the state in as different location, not just geographically, but in terms of the cultural circumstances of the community, so that we could get a comprehensive, at the end of the pilot period, we'd have a comprehensive approach to students who would not otherwise think about post-secondary education.
Madam Chair, it would be helpful for me, and I'm sure that others, if we had, you know, some detail on where in the state the pilots are occurring and what new areas are going to be added on as a result of this.
I think this would be helpful if the commission could provide that information to the committee. But since this is not a general fund issue, and since it is other funds, I think that we probably should try to move on. However, Senator Hartung was asked a question, so
yes.
I'll get it back in 10 minutes. And Senator Hartung is there.
David, I'm looking at the letter you sent to us on May 10th, and I was impressed with what you said at that time. Subsequent to this letter, while things have occurred to me in relationship with high school students, I heartily engaged with you. And let me just read for the benefit of the rest of the members to what you said, and I think it answers a lot of the questions. Restructuring communication channels to provide for and broaden access to information about education and training beyond high school, and putting people in better shape to handle the fairly sophisticated documents and processes that deal with financial aid are critical. Positive responses to conditions. And I think that, for me at least, that says it all. And particularly as I read now the very great interest upon our high school students of pursuing their education, higher education, and all over the country, enrollment, or at least interest, is up, and so we need this sort of opportunity for our high school kids to understand what's available to them.
Madam Chair, if I may, Representative Williams asked for sampling of some of those pilot sites. Pendleton is one of those. North Valley, Reedsport, Marshall High School in the Portland area, Corbett, Portland Knight High School, Grants Pass, Creswell. To give at least a flavor of where these things are located. As I said, the intent was to try to move into some very different environments than had typically been the circumstance for the distribution of this kind of information.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll take those other funds. Shall we take a motion on the other funds portion?
I'll be glad to.
Do we have one more? I'm sorry.
We had one more.
I apologize. So that's what I get from running in the map. All right.
Thank you, Mayor. So the final other funds package recommendation, package nine, or number nine, there is a package in the governor's budget, 206, for $216,390 in other funds for an employee dependent scholarship program. LFO recommends that you deny this package. This package is designed in the event of the passage of House Bill 2250, which would establish a tax credit to employers equal to 50% of donations that they make for scholarships to employees and dependents. And basically, this package would have the money that employers would contribute. It would allow the Scholarship Commission to spend them in the form of scholarship programs. House Bill 2250, however, is in House Revenue Committee. It does not appear to be moving at this time. We recommend denial, and we recommend that if the legislature, if you do choose to pass that bill, that we then add this limitation into the commission's budget at that time, which we can do. But as of now, we recommend denial.
Thank you. Okay. At this point, be happy to take a motion on the segment of the budget that deals with the other funds program.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Stroh has made a motion that we accept the packages as recommended dealing with the other funds programs, State Scholarship Commission. Any discussion?
Representative Wilson, I'm sorry, I'm wondering which packages are we, is the motion affecting?
All but nine.
Instead of dealing with the other funds programs, that would be package six through package nine, and package nine, the recommendation is to deny. Okay. We do have a motion. Again, any discussion? Any objection? All right. Motion carried. All right, Steve, would you move into our next segment here of the budget, the general fund supported programs, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Package 090 and the next one, so these are numbers 10 and 11 on my sheet, deal with the Office of Degree Authorization Program, and there are two recommendations relating to that program. The first is an element in the governor's budget, and this would reduce general fund support for the Office of Degree Authorization Program.
Could I just go standard ease for just a moment? I need to come home. We're trying to fix things. Stayed here a little bit, so we can get everybody on their way when they need to go.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't realize that the D's had a caucus, so we're leaving at 9:30. So I'm going to speed up a bit, and please ask questions, though, if they come up. Again, the package 090 reduces general fund support to 50% of the ODA budget. The governor is recommending this so that the amount, so that fee revenues support 50% of that budget that is devoted to the actual degree authorization. So it's an effort to align the general fund support for the amount of activity in the office that is actually based on general fund supported programs. Recommendation 11 is that you provide, this is not in the original governor's budget, but you did receive today a request from the Scholarship Commission for a supplemental appropriation relating to the Office of Degree Authorization. What happens is their administrator resigned this biennium, and because it's a very small agency, there are only two people, most of the budget goes to personnel costs. The administrator's resignation resulted in unanticipated general fund costs that cannot be met of $10,037. We recommend that you approve that out of the 97-99 biennium because that is when the expenses occurred. So this would help, this would allow the commission to meet those unanticipated expenses related to the resignation of the administrator. Recommendation 12 is that you transfer $75,000 of general fund to the emergency board, that is to say from the commission's budget to the commission, to the emergency board. The $75,000 is part of $152,000 in this program of general fund to support the medical dental program. What the medical dental program is it's a program that will pay for defaulted student loans taken by medical, dental, nursing students at OHSU and veterinary students at Oregon State. This program has not accepted any new students since 1993. So all of these are old loans, and some of them will go into default, and it'll be the purpose of the general fund appropriation to pay those defaults, but the full $152,000 will probably not be needed based on historic patterns. So we recommend that you take about half of that money, $75,000, put it into the emergency board, and then if the defaults are higher than anticipated, the agency can come to the emergency board and request those funds. This is part of the accountability drive that the co-chair has asked the committee to look at. It's not a lot of money, but it's some advice in the committee.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair. I would move approval of items 10, 11, and 12.
Representative Ross moves approval of items 10, 11, and 12. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, motion carries.
The final two recommendations relate to the NEED grant, which receives almost all of the general of the state support is spent for the NEED grant. Recommendation 13 is that you approve package 207. Package 207 adds about $4.3 million of Education Endowment Fund earnings to the NEED grant amount award. These funds are available because of House Bill 3695 from last session, which dedicates 25% of endowment fund earnings for NEED grants. You may be asking, well, if that money is dedicated, why is this package here? Why is it something you need to vote on? The reason you need to make this decision as to whether to approve or deny this package is this is the decision of whether to use these funds to actually supplement or add on to the total NEED grant amount or to use them in lieu of the general fund. That is to say, to use them as a supplement, as a, I'm sorry, I can't think right now, as an offset, thank you, to the general fund. If you approve this package, you would be using the money as an addition to support increased NEED grants. This will allow the support to increase almost 14% from the current biennium level. Both the governor and LFO recommend that you do approve this package to increase NEED grant support. Finally, the final recommendation is we have proposed two budget notes relating to the distribution of the NEED grant awards among students in the three, quote, sectors, those being the community college students, the higher ed students, OUS, and the private college students. What the source of this is, and I ask you to look now at one other item that we've distributed, which will be the last one I think we need to look at. It's the one that says NEED grant awards. And it should say effect of the first or impact of the first budget note, LFO recommended budget note. So it's this one here. Let me join. What this shows is that, assuming that you do approve package 207, the amount of need grant awards, if you look at the row that says total need grants, will be about 14% above the current biennial level. The commission and governor's recommendation is to increase the state grant supplemental award, that's the award that goes to independent college students, by the 2.8% that represents the current service level, and to eliminate dedicated monies that were this biennium for public college students and throw all of the additional funds into the basic need grant that is shared by all of the students in all three sectors. So you have a 19.2% growth in the basic need grant, a 2.8% growth in the supplemental grant. In response to legislative concerns about equity, LFO is recommending that you approve a budget note to direct the commission to have what is shown there in the equal growth rate column, which is to say to distribute the money so that the supplemental grant increase is the same level as the basic need grant. That is to say that not all of the additional funds as a result of package 207 go entirely to the basic need grant, but that they are distributed at the same growth rate. That is the reason for this is that the legislature approved significant funding in the OUS budget, over $15 million, to freeze instruction fees for resident undergraduate students. But no similar type of support was available in the community college budget for community college students, and no additional support was available for Oregon students attending private colleges here in the state. So in order to address that, the recommendation is that more of the need grant support be provided to the independent colleges in the form of the first budget note, which directs that the growth rates look like they are in the equal growth rates column of that chart. That basically shifts about 440,000 to provide the private college students with some additional support for their need grants. And then there's a second budget note to assist community college students. Community college students face a problem under the need grant in that it is awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. And community college students tend to apply late. Very often they apply a week or so before the term starts, in fall term, winter term, spring term, whenever they start. And because there hasn't been enough funds to fund need grants year-round, there's no money left for them when they apply. This happens to other students as well, but it disproportionately happens to community college students. What budget note two, the second budget note, would do is it would reserve an amount of funding for the community college students that would be solely available for community college student awards until February 1st of each year. And then, if there's any left, if the community college students haven't been awarded all of that, the funds would be released and any eligible student would be available for them. Under this budget note, the amount that would be reserved for community college students is an estimate by the Scholarship Commission of what it would take so that community college students are awarded the awards at the same proportion as everyone else. Now it's the case that almost all of the people who don't get awards are community college students. Under this budget note, if ideally, of course, part of it's an estimate, it may not come out exactly right, but the intent is that if the scholarship commission determines they can only award 98% of eligible students given the money that they've got, that 98% of the eligible community college students would be awarded, as well as 98% of everyone else. Whereas under the existing situation, you would probably get 99% of everyone else and maybe only 90% of the community college students. So this reserves funds for them until February, and that would enable more of them to get funded.
Okay. Senator Brock.
And so if I'm understanding you right, the community college students are protected on a proportional basis. What about the proportions between private institutions and our four-year institutions, state institutions? Is that still just on a first-come, first-served basis?
That is correct. That will still be on a first-come, first-served basis.
Do you have any evidence to show that they apply at about the same time, or do the private institutions apply a lot earlier?
The evidence that I have seen here looks at shows the number of students who are not getting awards currently. And you can find where I put it. In the current biennium, which is to say 97-99, of the 15, there were approximately 16,000 OUS students who received the award, and approximately 1,600 who did not receive it because the money had run out. So about one, there were about 10 times as many recipients as people who couldn't get it. For independent colleges, there were about 2,800 recipients and 220 people who did not, who could not get it because the funds ran out. So they've got a little better proportion. But for the community college people, there were 14,000 recipients and 7,000 people who were eligible who did not get it. So about a third of all the people who were eligible for community colleges didn't get the awards, whereas 90% or more of the people in the other sectors were eligible in.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much more funding this time, the total number of people who won't be getting awards will be much lower in all sectors. But this second budget note will help the community college students with their situation where they just tend to apply later because in many cases the decision to attend the institution isn't made until later in the school year.
Mm-hmm.
The result of both of these budget notes together, I cannot give you exact numbers because I have not been able to confirm this with the Scholarship Commission, but it appears that total need grants for OUS students for all three sectors with both budget notes would increase by more than the current service level amount. For higher ed students, OUS students, they would have the smallest increase. My very rough estimate is 4% increase from this last biennium to this biennium in their need grant awards. And again, I ask you to please look at that as a rough estimate. It's complicated, and I was not able to confirm this with the Scholarship Commission.
I'm sorry, I didn't mention it. Is a 4% increase in the number who will get awards or in the amount of the awards?
Dollar amount.
In the dollar amount. Okay, go ahead.
For community college students, because of this reservation, there may be about a 33% increase in dollar awards from the current biennium. And for independent college students, my estimate is about a 17% increase. That would be mainly because of the increase in the amount and also the first budget note, which changes somewhat the distribution to them. But again, these are our rough estimates. But according to my, as best I can determine at this point, that would be the impact of approving both of them in the amount of need grants next biennium compared to this biennium.
Okay.
Representative Leonard.
And what is the percentage increase of OUS students next biennium?
Let's see. Would anyone here in the commission be able to help me with that, the number of students who are awarded? Is that what you're asking, the number of students who receive an exam?
I'll get there, but I was first wanting to know what the percentage increase was.
Yes, sir. The number of OUS students who receive, first of all, the need grant award in the current biennium is estimated to be about 16,000.
Students?
Yes, students.
And that's by the way, the 2-year figure, $8,000 a year. We estimate that most of these, that approximately, perhaps another 1,300 to 1,400 would be added to that this biennium.
In this biennium?
Yeah.
So 1,400 is what percentage is? And 16 would be 10, so it would be 9%. 9% increase.
That isn't coming, that can't be right then.
8% increase.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that can't be right because the average E grant award is going up. And the estimate of a 4% increase probably would boil down to a very small increase in the number of students. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm trying to get, is if the amount of money we're increasing for NEED grants to OUS students is increasing by 4%, but we have 8% more NEED grant students,
mm-hmm.
then we're not really providing.
We're not, that 8% figure, it must be incorrect. I think we must be.
How many more, let me ask this, how many more students do we project applying for or qualifying for new grants in the next biennium over this biennium?
There's a small increase. What was the, what was your projection? Did someone from the College or Commission please respond? We've got, let me see.
Well, Madam Chair, let me give you an idea where I'm going here. Well, let me ask one more question first. The independent college students, that amount that would be allocated from the NEED grant to them would increase by 17% to them?
Yes.
And what is the projected increase in enrollment there? Or is there a projected increase?
There is some small projected increase, but there is also an increase projected in the amount of award per student. The impact of the first budget note, which transfers approximately $440,000 to the FIGSA, does not increase the number of students, but it increases the award per student.
And then back to the OUS students, does that same dynamic occur there?
No. There's the dynamic is not to increase the award amount. The dynamic is that additional NEED grants could be applied because of the increase in available funding of about 14%. However, both the first and the second budget notes come primarily at the expense, if you will, of the OUS students.
Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to think that.
Yeah, community college, by reserving funds for community college students, they get more of this because more of them get awarded and there will be less money available for students in both other sectors because of that.
But what I'm trying to get to is the equitable distribution or lack thereof of what we're proposing to do via the budget notes. If you have, if just say by example, if we have a I'm getting my percentages.
If I could just interrupt you for a minute.
Okay.
I apologize for interrupting. We're aware that the Student Association is concerned about $1 million shortfall for year round at with these budgets.
For what?
For OUS.
OUS NEED grant.
Right. What we are proposing to do, OUS, you should have a part right here.
Mm-hmm.
They have about $8 million supplemental tuition grant.
Give me that chart again. I've seen it again. Here it is. All right.
Good budget notes in higher ed budget that requires them to take $1 million of that tuition grant money to serve NEED grant students.
And the tuition grant money,
yes.
But that's tuition grant, so you're taking tuition grant money that is intended to help low-income students.
This is very, very similar to what currently the Scholarship Commission does. This is just to make sure that we get all of those.
Aren't you fully what we're doing with the needs of that first.
Okay.
And I guess my questions are the growth of the students in OUS, the overall growth of specific for the new grad students, the growth of students in the independent colleges, and just I want to see how those percentages are playing out. If in fact, I mean, Steve said that these numbers are wrong, we're increasing the need grant amount by 4% to OUS,
mm-hmm.
but the student population is going up 8%.
Well, we don't know that. That's
right. I said for example.
Right.
I'm just saying by way of example. If that is occurring, we have a problem if we're in fact in shifting 17% more in this biennium to independent colleges. I'm going to want to understand the policy reason behind that. And I don't have my arms around it enough yet to ask those questions.
I'm still looking for one sheet that I know I have here that has some of that information on it for you.
And then if we in fact get to where it looks like we're all agreeing we're going to end up, if there's a problem, we don't have the numbers mapped down yet, then I am not going to support taking money from one program to help low-income students to shift it to another program to help low-income students. You're robbing from Peter to pay. And again, this is, I want to get the figures for you, but it sounds like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Well, then explain to me why that's not happening. Because maybe I don't understand.
Well, these funds are more discretionary than education grants. OUS has some discretion.
And how's that money currently is?
We can bring them in and answer those questions. Let's just, Steve, maybe what we need to do is just adjourn for today. You bring the numbers back.
Okay.
I think that'd be really helpful. Right. I'd really appreciate that because I haven't been able to afford to go on past this. And I know you've been working on a positive solution, so I'd like to hear that explanation before we...
Do we know the origin of the budget notes? Are these something that OFO came up with or were they proposed out there by somebody else?
There is a letter by the to try to distribute the funds more evenly between the private
I like the $1 million.
And the public institutions are as well as certain institutions that seem to get close with them. So I was just hearing from Richard.
Thank you.